one is in John 14. So it's Psalm 121 sounds like this. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? You know that one. And then it says, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And when we were busy with Pentecost, we saw that whole concept of help is the same word as for the Holy Spirit. So my help, my counsel comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will never slumber nor sleep. And then, before Jesus went to heaven, in John 14, he says, all this I have spoken while I still with you. But the Advocate, the Helper, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. My peace I leave with you. My Holy Spirit I leave with you. I greet you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May you have peace. Amen. So let's sing. This one we can stand. We are going to sing two verses of hymn 14, All Creatures of Our King and God. Let's praise Him. Let's stand and sing. Our theme this morning is in this verse. Praise the Father, praise the Son, and praise the Spirit, three in one. It's a difficult concept. But today is, they call it a Trinity Sunday. It is about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we went through Christmas time, we went through Passover, and we went through the resurrection of Jesus, and He's gone to heaven, and Pentecost, and what now? It's all about understanding of this difficult interaction between God the Son, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit. We can speak of them, all of them are God, but it is one. It's a difficult concept. But what we are going to read this morning, our scripture reading is John chapter 16. And what you will see here is some of this interaction described by Jesus in his last words, some of his last words before his ascension to heaven. And you can, in a sense, try to feel and to understand what he is saying, because nowhere in the Bible it says God is a Trinity in one sentence. What you can see is you can see this working of God, and then you understand, it must be, even though there isn't one concept in the Bible created for it. So I saw this article when someone said, yeah, but this whole thing of the triune God or the Trinity of God is a human sort of man-made thing. Well, the name is man-made, but the concept is God-given. It is in His Word, and that is how we understand God. So it's a difficult concept, and to do so and to understand it, we need the wonderful Word of God, and we need the work of the Holy Spirit to do so. So let's pray. Father God, we honor you this morning because you are God, you are our Savior, you are the Creator, you are the Holy Spirit, you are the Word, the living Word, you are the bread of life, you are the water of life. And Father, when we start to think about you and your character and who you are and your identity, then we realize that we don't have enough words in our vocabulary to describe you and to give you real honor. But with the words that we can give, we honor you. With the concepts that we do understand, we honor you. We honor you for your love, your kindness, your grace, your forgiveness. And therefore, we just commit ourselves and as your children to you this morning. And we ask for your guidance. We ask for your help. We ask you to be the advocate, as we have just said, in our lives. We pray for our healing, our redemption, our saving, and our lives. Father, there are so many people in this congregation suffering in many ways, due to finances, due to emotional crises, due to medical and physical challenges. And therefore, we pray for our congregation. We pray this morning that you will help us and every single one that cannot be here. Look after them, keep them in your hands, and bless them. And we pray that when we are busy this morning discovering the aspects of Christianity and your word and how to apply it, we pray that you will bless us through the Holy Spirit so that we really understand, and so that it help us to be your children. Please bless us when we are busy with your word. In your name we pray. Amen. So let me just repeat again. So we are busy to understand something this morning about the Trinity of God, Trinity Sunday, about this three concepts of God. And I hope that you will read something about it in this and see something about it in the scripture this morning. So it's John chapter 16, verse 5. I am going to start there. So verse 5 in my Bible starts in halfway through a sentence, but it says, "But now I am going to him who sent me." So now I'm going to him, God, who sent me. "None of you ask me, 'Where are you going?' Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." So that advocate is the name for the Holy Spirit. In some of the translations, in some of the Afrikaans Bible will say the helper or the trooster. the one that counsel us. So the word here is advocate. And if you some of the newer Bibles uses the Greek word parakletos. Why they use that, I don't know. But verse 8 says, when he comes, that is the advocate, the trooster, the counselor. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father. So now you can see, he speaks about himself. He's doing the things of the Father. The Father sent him. He sends the advocate. The advocate reminds us about our sin and about righteousness. So now I am going to my Father, to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Well, now he's speaking about about Satan. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. So you see, there's a connection again. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, that is Jesus, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. I will read up to there. But you can see this sort of difficult, weird interaction between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So even though the Bible doesn't name here saying this is the God, the Trinity of God, you can see it. And so God the Father, he sends Jesus. Jesus sends the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus. And Jesus will tell the Holy Spirit what he should say. And he will remind that Jesus said, well, I will tell you about sin, but you didn't listen. So the Holy Spirit will remind you of sin. And the Holy Spirit, and when you read chapter 14, the Holy Spirit will remind you about my words, the words of Jesus. So that is why in our tradition as a church, always in the middle will be God, God's word, and the Holy Spirit. That is what we are not speaking about ourselves. We speak about Jesus and the words of Jesus. That is what we do. So I've read the story, and I think there is a picture of it. I hope it's the right place, not just to give you the wrong information. But that is in Canada, and the southeastern Canada. Southeastern Canada. And the place's name is difficult to pronounce, but let me try in my own sort of English. Saguenay River. That is the Saguenay River. I believe that is what it is. And what they say is there are this massive cliffs, impressive cliffs next to that river. And at some places it rises like almost 500 meters in high mountain cliffs. And they tell the story that in the old days, when the pioneers went to Canada, they saw these two landmarks on both sides of the river, and they called them, they were Christian people, and they called them Eternity and Trinity. So the one cliff was Eternity, and the other one was Trinity. And so based on these two natural wonders and this unique names, the preacher, there was a preacher, Charles McCartney, and he said the following about this cliffs, Trinity and Eternity. And he says, inseparable from any true understanding of God are always these two doctrines, God's eternity and God's Trinity. And if you think about it, so many people will ask you. I mean, sometimes it seems to me like the last question when they are really struggle to believe in God. But where does God come from? Then you say, right, he's just from eternity there. And will, no, that's not, you know, there's the old doctrine, and we struggle. And later on, the whole dinner is all about eternity. I know it feels like eternity just to get through all the food. And then Trinity. How many people struggle to understand that? God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. And then he says, yet completely beyond human comprehension and understanding. It is beyond human comprehension and understanding. But still we are busy trying to understand, or not really, or to get a grip on what it really means. And this Sunday is what we do. It's a Trinity Sunday. We speak about it. Karl Barth, he was one of the big theologians of our time. And he says the Trinity of God is the following. Three times distinct, yet the same. Three times distinct, yet the same. And in a certain sense, we can all confess God is three times in three different ways, completely involved in our lives. If, I think if you can say that, is what it means. God is in three different ways, three times, totally, fully involved in our lives. But I've got this fear that when we are busy describing God's triune nature, His Trinity, obviously, we do it from our human perspective. And we need to be very careful not to do it with a sort of arrogance. Thinking that we know and really comprehend and can explain and understand the Trinity of God. I think where we should start off is to say, I don't know. But what I believe is, God is fully, fully, fully involved in my life. More than I deserve, and more than what I can understand and comprehend. So in simple terms, it means I cannot think about God from my sinful, wicked human being ways of doing things. So when you speak about God, it needs to be extremely respectful. So this morning as well, this is not what I will try to do, is for sure not to give some sort of theological lesson, a lecture about the Trinity of God. It is just to honor God for who He is. And just think about it. Pete and I are going to the Kunene region this week, and we will on this mission outreach. And just think about it. When we are going to people that many of them have never heard about God. For some of them, and the most people, it's interesting enough, when you get there, they will know about the church. They will know all about the negative things about the church. Very interesting. They will know about that. But they don't know about God. There were a lot of churches already there. But they left. But they left nothing about God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit. So I don't know why they went there. So the point is, how do you tell someone that have never, never heard about God, about the greatness of God, about the salvation of Jesus? It's only possible through the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the only way that we can do it. So it's not in our hands. We cannot do it. We cannot try to force them to understand it. It's just the Holy Spirit that can do that. So that is what we depend. And that is why we pray as a congregation. So sometimes we pray that we will save against the lions, because they are present as well, or elephants, or other people, or trouble that we can have with our car. But the biggest prayer should go to those people to understand something about God. Just understand something about God. And in Afrikaans, we spoke about it last week in the first Chronicles 16, when it speaks about the fear of God in Afrikaans, and most of you do understand at least a little bit of Afrikaans, but this is a difficult Afrikaans word. It says, onsagwekkend is die Here. He's indescribable. He is so wonderful. It is in awe that we stand. It's awe-inspiring. That is what God is. And that is what we need to understand about the Trinity of God. But it's impossible to fully get hold on what it really means. In Isaiah 55, verse 8 to 9, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." In Job 6, 26, verse 14, he says, "Behold, these are but the outskirts of his ways, and how small a whisper do we hear of him, but the thunder of his power. Who can understand?" That's a beautiful verse. If you want to go and underline in your Bible, Job 26, 14. "Behold, these are only the outskirts of his ways that we understand." In Psalm 147, verse 5, it says, "Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit." Jeremiah 32, verse 27, it says, "I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me?" So this is God. So we approach him with humbleness, with honor, with fear, respect. So we do not try to define him, because we can't, not in full. But God, what we understand about the Trinity of God is that God, in a sense, in every single aspect of his character, cares about you and me. That is what we can understand. We can understand that God the Father loves us immensely. God loves us. And the Son, because of the love of God, died for us. He washed away our sin. Cleanses us from the evil. And he rose again, conquered the death, and through the Holy Spirit, we understand. Through the Holy Spirit, it helps us and guides us and teaches us. We became followers of Jesus Christ. And that is the deepest aspect of what we should understand. God cares for me in many ways. And he made the plan to help me and to save me. And it is just too big for my understanding to get grip. There's a story of the old, well-known church father, Augustine. He struggled at a stage in his life with the Trinity of God. And while he was reflecting about it and wondering about it, he was walking on the beach and hoping just to get some clarity about this whole situation and how he should think about it. And there on the shore, he saw this young boy. He was playing there on the beach and with a small bucket. And he was running back and forth between the sea, and he had a hole there on the beach and getting some water in the sea and running back to his little hole and doing it very enthusiastically. And Augustine wondered about this diligence of this little boy. Well, what's he doing? What is he trying to achieve here? And he asked him, "What are you doing?" And this little boy was very serious about his deeds and what he was busy with. And he said to him, "I'm trying to put the whole ocean in this hole." And then a light went up in Augustine's mind. And he said, "But this is my problem. My problem is I want to put this whole unlimited, indescribable God into my concept, of understanding. And I cannot do it. I cannot do it. It's impossible to do so. So this is what we would must understand about the greatness of God. It is just overwhelming for our minds. But what we need to understand in our hearts and lives is He cares. It is the totality of God that focuses on me and my sin and my struggling. God cares with all of who He is and are in my life. That is what I need to understand. And each part of God, if I can call it, each person of God, every element of God is into saving, caring, helping, and being an advocate in my life. And I will never understand it. But what I can do is I can worship Him. I can just be grateful for this. Not understanding, but worship. I just want to worship Him. And this is what God's, what Jesus says in chapter 16 is that the Holy Spirit was given to us to help us. To help us not to understand, because He says, well, there are more things that they can tell you, but you cannot bear them. It is too much for you. But the Holy Spirit will help you. So that any people, if there is any person understanding something about the greatness of God, it is through the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit. There was a long, long time ago, there was a Reba McEntire sang a song. Long story. It was that some of you were in matric then. It's in 1947. Okay. And there was a song, A Sunday Kind of Life, a Love. A Sunday Kind of Love. And I understand that Christina Aguilera, that she sang it and became famous on TV when she was a little eight-year-old girl in 1980s. She sang this song, her version of it. And what it is about is that every single generation need some sort of understanding of love, the real love of God, because love, God is love. So the whole Trinity of God is all about love. And every single generation longs for a different kind of love. And someone wrote about it and says, but not a Monday love, not a Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday love, and not certainly not a Saturday love, but a Sunday love. And what the word sounds something like this. I want a Sunday kind of love. A love to last past Saturday night. I like to know it's more than love at first sight. I want a Sunday kind of love. I want a love that's on the square. Can't seem to find somebody to care. I'm on a lonely road that leads me to nowhere. I need a Sunday kind of love. So the person who wrote these words understand that, well, I'm looking for something. I'm in search for something. And maybe it's on a Sunday. What happens on a Sunday? It's God's day. It's God's day. And it's a sort of love that I hope I can find on a Sunday between the people of God. Yeah. Lonely person entering our building or seeing us here are looking for a Sunday kind of love. Eternal sort of love. A love that is only visible through the people knowing God. And that is why they call it a Trinitarian love. The love of God, the love of Jesus, and the love of the Holy Spirit. To make us aware of this, if you can call it, threefold involvement of God in my life, it's about God's love for us. Someone wrote about it and says a Sunday love is a love triangle. And then he says, not a bad kind of love triangle where people are pitted against one another so that one person can control everything and everyone. No, a Sunday love is a Trinity love. A love triangle that comes from a Trinitarian, three-way love. It is the kind of love that comes when God is experienced relationally as a three in one, one and three, and some a loved lover love. God, in all the ways, just expresses His love for us. The Father is in a relationship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, and both of them and the three of them are in this connection with one another, and it benefits us. It's all about us. Augustine described them as the giver of love, the beloved, and the love that unites them. And it's all with capital letters. The giver of love is God. The beloved is His Son. And the love that unites them is through the Holy Spirit. And it's all about us. Love creates a unity in being together. If this Trinity of God is so important, if this unity is so important, in the chapter hereafter, He's praying for the unity of the church. He's praying for us. How can there be unity? Only through the unity that we experience with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is what it is. I've read a story somewhere about this the blind skier. Well, this morning it's so cold, I think we can ski back home as well. But the story is something like this. And that is what the guidance of the Holy Spirit reminds us of. It's about this, in Colorado was this people skiing on the snow. And he said, the person, he said, on that slopes he encountered people wearing red T-shirts. And it was indicated, marked with words on the T-shirts, it says blind skier. And this guy was astonished. He says, and after all, skiing is already difficult enough with two good eyes. How hard will it be without any eyes to be blind? And he says, afterwards, he approached the ski instructor and asked him about this blind person and how is it possible to ski at all? And then the coach or the instructor said to him, every blind skier has a guide. And this guide may ski in front or behind or alongside this blind person, but always through enough communication. So the communication is, they tap, it's a constant tapping on the ski poles, and to reassure the blind skier that they are present, and obviously to do it verbally. Just to say, we are here, we are here, and keep it on the way. So the only responsibility of the blind skier is to completely trust the guide. Now for us, I mean, obviously this is a story of the Holy Spirit. To go through life is this experience. I don't know, I cannot see, I don't know where we are heading. When we look at the news at this moment, and you see all the conflict in the world, and it's not just us that are angry, even the volcanoes are angry, and I think the earth is angry. So for sure it's the last times, but who will tell us about it? The Holy Spirit. Who will guide us through this, all this insecurity and stuff that we cannot see? It's the Holy Spirit. And we need to listen. We need to listen to the tapping. We need to listen to the words thereof. And therefore, this is our guidance through the times that we are living. It's the Bible. It's the Word of God. So this is our responsibility is to listen very carefully, to acknowledge the guidance of the Holy Spirit, to ask for His direction, to accept His leading, and to surrender ourselves to His guidance and what He is telling us to do. Not what we think we should do, but the real guidance of the Holy Spirit. So, let me tell you another story. Let me tell you a story that happened during this week with a lady, old lady. She fell, couldn't help herself, lying on the floor the whole night, struggling, old story, what long, no. The next morning, So no one knew about the story. She couldn't call anyone. But somehow, the person helping or working somewhere next in some of the flats close by, nearby, went this morning to ask her if her power was also off. And there was a connection. So why would that lady go to that specific flat where the need was so huge to ask if their power were on or off? And that was the guidance of the Holy Spirit. There are a lot of flats. Why would you go to that specific one where a person is in need at that moment? I want to tell you this story. It seems like a useless story, but let me do it. It's a story about this lady. Her name is Peggy Pyland. And she wrote a story in the Guidepost magazine. And she said she wanted to bake a delicious chocolate cake because that was her speciality. She was a chocolate cake baker. That was her speciality. And she wanted to give it to her old Sunday school teacher just to give her some feedback and just to say, I love you, or whatever it is. And this Sunday school teacher's name was Jane Powell. And just to say thank you for the influence in her life. But as she was planning, she thought about two things. One is her teacher, Jane. And while she was thinking about her and baking this chocolate cake, it crossed her mind that, and she thought by herself, but you know what? I think instead I will bake a lemon cheesecake. She said, a lemon cheesecake? I don't know about the lemon cheesecake. I don't like lemon cheesecake. I cannot bake a lemon cheesecake. I will make my chocolate cake. And then again, when she thinks about this cheesecake, no, lemon. Cheesecake, that is what she needed to do. She realized she didn't have any lemons, but she had all the other ingredients for a chocolate cake. Yet, she's going to make this lemon cheesecake. Okay, she did it. And when she arrived at her Sunday school teacher's house, Jane Powell, Jane's husband opened the door, and he said, you know, I'm happy to see you. And then he explained, but your teacher, Jane, she fell and broke her leg. So she's in bed. She's stuck there in bed. And the doctor had assured them that the leg will heal, but that is this long healing process, and she's not mobile. So this Peggy entered the room of her teacher, Jane, and with this lemon cheesecake. And she said, I'm really sorry about your leg, and I hope you will feel better. And here is a lemon cheesecake for you. And then her teacher began to cry. She said, how did you know? She said, what? No, what? She said, today is our wedding anniversary. She said, and it's for the past 55 years, I've baked my husband every single year a lemon cheesecake. She said, I don't know. Here it is. She said, how did you know? I don't know. I just did it. And it is such a simple story. But sometimes, you just get this voice, feeling, thing that says, call this person. They just come to your mind. Well, I've got two voices in my life. The one is the Holy Spirit, and the other one is my wife. And sometimes when I think about people and I tell my wife, listen, you know, I think, okay, call them, say something, what's up them, do something. And then my wife has this first voice and then the second voice. Did you do it? Did you call? Did you? No, I haven't. Okay, you know, normally I didn't do it. So the point is, I've got these three voices: the Holy Spirit, My wife's first voice and my wife's second voice and all the voices thereafter. But point is, we need to listen. And we need to listen very carefully. Sometimes it is not so clear. But listen when the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And sometimes it's just too big. Sometimes we say, I cannot do it. It's too much. It's not my gift. I don't feel I can, I'm worth it. Whatever it is. I've said it last week. I mean, in church, we cannot wait. We cannot wait for a leader to stand up. We cannot wait for the pastor to do everything. I mean, normally when we go to a hospital or whatever, no, let the pastor go. Why can't we go? Why should the called one? We are all called and called. Called to go and we are sent. We are being sent into this world. Every single one of us. The congregation isn't there to get all the information, to get all the money for the ministry, and then send the woman in. No. It's much cheaper to do it ourselves. Just to do it ourselves. Because we are called to do so. And this is what the Spirit tells us to do. Maybe it's to bake a cake. Maybe it's to take a flower. Just maybe. I remind myself, and that person is in this congregation. She gave my wife a while ago one single flower. And you can't tell. Well, I cannot tell you how much it meant to her. But what the strange thing was that how long that flower lasted. It was just amazing. It's like almost felt later on. Isn't this a plastic thing? No, it's real. It's like a miracle. It's just little small things. It's a little small things that we need to do for the people around us. Just to care. Well, what is the whole story about it? The Trinity of God. It's about caring. It's a God that cares about this world. If you are frustrated and aggressive and in a distress about what is going on, I mean, what is going on these days? I mean, there's a flight going from India to London. Oh, okay, 242 people dead. Oh, okay, there, 1964 is dead. There's a ship sinking. Okay, another. God cares about the lives of people. So we need to care. We need to care about people because God cares, and that is our calling. This is our compassion. God is compassionate about us. And therefore I thank you for as a congregation for really caring, seeing, and doing. Because that is what we need to do. It is not to discuss the concept of the Trinity of God, but to live it out in the world around us. That is what the Spirit, it sends us. And we read it in many chapters in Acts. I will give you the power. I will send you to all the nations. If you hear about all these things around us in the world, we need to be concerned about the redemption and the freedom and of people. We need to go to them. We need to help them. So it's not a discussion. It is to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit sending us to go and care and to love. May God send us through the Holy Spirit to get involved. Maybe you too, in a threefold way in many people's lives. Maybe you need to bake a cheesecake, or build a house, or replace a tire, or to clean someone's windscreen. Maybe. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you through the Holy Spirit that we can grab something of what you tell us this morning. We know that we can never and will never understand the full content of the Trinity of God. But we know that you are caring as a triune God in our lives. And therefore, we are so inspired to go and live as people touched by God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May we listen. May we do. May we add value. And this we pray in your name. Amen. Okay, let's honor God with a grateful feedback in terms of our offering.
Well, thank you. The announcement is basically just that there's nothing to announce.
Okay.
Well, Peter and I, as we have mentioned, we are going to the Kunene region. We are going to work next to the, alongside the Kunene River. And so we ask you to please pray for us and as well. And like you've seen, the special collection at the doors for our guide and our translator, Bende. She is so capable, speaks a lot of dialects and even Portuguese as well. So we are stuck. When we go through coming up, our abilities in terms of our linguistic capacities, we are just lost. So without her and without the guide, we cannot do this work. So if you want to give something for her as well, we will appreciate it. And thank you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you this morning again for all the blessings. We really count them one by one. And we are so grateful for what you give to us so that we can give it back, have some of it back. And we pray this morning that this money, this financial things that we receive will help us in our ministries. And it's not just this money. Father, we receive a lot of beanies, a lot of jerseys, and other things that people give so that we can help people in our ministries. And we pray for that, and we pray that you will really bless everyone working with this money. In your name we pray. Amen. Great. So let's sing a last hymn, verse 1 and 2, from verse hymn 108. Guide me, O great Redeemer. So let's sing it together. Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.